Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the 1950s, it was a boxer by the name of Marciano. In the 1960s, a flying squirrel who allegedly lived in Frostbite Falls, Minnesota. In the 1970s and 80s, another boxer by the name of Balboa. In the 1990s, an ex-NFL player, wrestler, who became the Scorpion King. Pop culture has been enamored for at least half a century by the nickname, but today's text takes us back to a more significant Rocky, a disciple of Christ named Simon, to whom Jesus gave that nickname, Peter, which in the Greek means the rock. Now, the meaning behind our text is important, the Greek. And so permit me this morning a non-technical lesson in Greek. Get this lesson wrong, your life is at risk against all the powers of Hades and the devil. Get it right, and you have eternal safety. Which lesson is important to get? It is clear from the context of this passage, from the Greek, from other sections of Scripture, and from the church fathers, that Jesus here is not teaching that his church is to be built upon Peter the man, but upon Jesus Christ. Listen to the wordplay. Here's the Greek, at least part of it. You are Petrus. And upon this Petra, I will build my church. The word Petrus, the name Peter, as it's translated, the nickname Jesus gave to Simon, really means a detached rock or boulder. And that other word there, which you don't see really, but it's in the Greek, the one that's translated rock, is the word Petra. Different word. And it means a mass of solid native bedrock rising up through the earth. Many of us have been to Mount Rushmore, and you know that Mount Rushmore really is about Petra. It's about a mass of solid bedrock, and it was out of that bedrock that just goes for miles and miles that they sculpted those four faces. But then at the bottom of those faces, you find all the dynamited pieces, the boulders and the stones, the individual Petrus, if you will. Now, if we were to translate this literally, we'd have some English that wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense, or at least it would be very artless. But roughly translated, the text meaning is, you are a detached rock, Peter, and upon the solid native rock rising up through the earth, I will build my church. It loses the aphoristic power of Jesus' words, but you get them if you pay close attention to the immediate context that goes before. Jesus had asked his disciples, immediate to our text, "Who are people saying that I am?" And they replied back, "Well, some say that you are John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, others say another prophet." And Jesus replied, "But who do you say that I am?" Referring to all of the apostles. And that's the point at which Peter, speaking on the behalf of all the disciples, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus has in mind this clear statement of faith, when he says to Simon, "You are Petrus, and upon this Petra I will build my church," because everybody else had it wrong. Peter got it right. That was the rock, that confession. Now, Peter was hardly a rock kind of a person upon which Jesus could build salvation. And his own example, of course, reminds each of us of our own lack of faith. Peter was a wonderful apostle, served us, served the church, was part of the apostolic ministry. God used him to give us part of the New Testament. But he was a man like us. Rather than taking Christ at his word and walking on the water, he really became, literally his name, like a rock and sunk below the surface. In Gethsemane, he fell asleep like all the other disciples. He showed his hypocritical faith before the Gentiles at Antioch, recorded in Galatians, when Paul had to oppose him to his face because of his hypocrisy. 5 verses after this text that I've just read to you, 5 verses after he's given this wonderful confession of faith, we find that Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan," because Jesus says to him, "I must now go to Jerusalem and I must die." And Peter opposes him and says, "No, Lord, it shall not be." And that, in fact, was Satan taking hold of him and wanting the will of Peter rather than the will of Christ, which if he would not have gone to Jerusalem, we would not have had salvation. And so Jesus discerned what was going on right there. And of course, remember, it was Peter who denied Christ 3 times before the cock had crowed twice. We know from other scriptures that Jesus Christ is the only sure foundation for our faith. Men are boulders who can be moved. It is only Jesus Christ who is the immovable bedrock. We need a Petra as a foundation, not a Petrus. Notice how the rest of Scripture agrees. Paul in Ephesians 2:20 says, "You are fellow citizens with the saints, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then, the most telling one perhaps of all, in 1 Corinthians 10:4, "Our fathers all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, Petra, that followed them, and that Petra was Christ." The Bible does not offer Peter as the foundation for faith, and really Peter himself, in 2 places at least, makes that clear. After Pentecost, Peter is arrested. He's brought before the Sanhedrin, the very group from which he had fled into the night. And he confesses before them, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." And in Peter's first epistle, he speaks about coming to Christ as to a living stone. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So this is not my own private interpretation. Even the fathers of the church make that very clear. The church fathers, the Lutheran confessions, and other writers teach this. Chrysostom, 4th century father, says, "On this rock means on the faith of his confession. Jesus did not say upon Peter, for it was not upon man, but upon his faith. And what was this faith other than Christ, to whom Peter pointed when he said, in response to the question, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" And this interpretation is followed by Origen, by Ambrose, by Cyprian, by Gregory of Nyssa, by Isidore of Pelusium, by Hilary, Theodoret, Theophanes, Theophylact, John of Damascus, Augustine, Bede. There are many other fathers who didn't address this particular passage, but those are the ones who did. This is why we love Peter, because he is so much like us. We're all sinners. We all have our weaknesses. Jesus said, "Whoso denies me before him, before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." And Peter denied Christ. And we have also. And yet he was restored because Christ is a loving God who died upon the cross to remove our sins. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the one to whom we turn during this Lenten season. And in turning to Christ, the church finds Petra, the rocky base and fortress against which the Hades gates can never prevail. Now, I've pointed to Peter's weaknesses, and in pointing to his weaknesses, I say again, all of us are implicated. But in his great confession of the faith, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," we also, do we not, see ourselves as well, redeemed, restored, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.